Working remotely, where you are shouldn't dictate what you do. Work from the road by turning your vehicle into a reliable high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On the network that covers more roads than any other carrier, take your work on the road and AT&T will be there to keep you connected. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Why wait? Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi today for free trial eligibility. Based on independent third-party data, number of devices varies by manufacturer. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Kakadu plum is an Australian native superfood containing 100 times more vitamin C than oranges. So why have you never heard of it? PR. No one's drinking a Kakadu smoothie? I'm JB Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward, inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
Get in touch with technology with Tech Stuff from HowStuffWorks.com. Join Josh and Chuck, the guys who bring you stuff you should know, as they take a trip around the world to help you get smarter in a topsy-turvy economy. Check out the all-new Super Stuff Guide to the Economy from HowStuffWorks.com, available now exclusively on iTunes.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome to Tech Stuff. My name is Chris Paulette. I'm an editor here at HowStuffWorks.com, and sitting next to me, as usual, is senior writer Jonathan Strickland.
Hey there.
All right, then. So I guess it's time for...
We're changing up things. It's time for listener mail.
Ow.
Yeah, usually we wait to the end to do this, but in this case, our entire podcast episode is based off of a message we received from a listener. So let me read that really quickly. Hello, I've been a listener and I love the podcast. I have a question. I keep getting viruses on my computer, Windows XP, and I was wondering if changing my IP address will stop the attacks. I have my computer locked down with Trend Micro and Windows Defender, and everything will be fine until I randomly do a scan and it pulls off at least 5 viruses. But this is not every time I do a scan, just sometimes. I do a scan every day. I was listening to an old podcast of yours where you talk about some program that makes it seem like your IP is different. It was How Proxy Servers Work. Your help would be much appreciated. Alex from Arlington, Texas. Well, Alex, we're here to help you a little bit, as much as we can, at any rate. Computer viruses are nasty, nasty customers, and it's never fun to find one on your machine.
That's true, and that's why we've decided to entitle this Computer Virus Emergency Response Plan Go.
Yes.
Because you have to figure out, what are you going to do in the event of a virus? You can't walk out and, walk out in the hallway, find that big red box with the, in the event of a computer virus, break glass.
Right, yeah. What are you going to do when they come for you is, I think, the question we should ask.
I'm leaving now. I'm going
away. Stay.
All right.
So first thing, Alex, your first question about changing your IP address. I'm sorry, that's not going to work.
Nope.
No. You're looking at, in that case, you were talking about using a proxy server. The specific case we were talking about was you'd log into a server that would allow you to then browse the web through that server. So that if anyone were looking at the, you know, the traffic coming into that site, they would see it coming from the proxy server you were using, not your own computer. So in that sense, it's really kind of misdirection. It's just telling someone, hey, I'm actually using this computer that happens to be in another country or whatever, not my own computer at home. It's not going to help you if you have a virus on your computer. And that's what it sounds like to me. It sounds to me that you have a virus on your computer that your scanner is not picking up. And there are many viruses or variants of viruses, other kinds of malware that can download other malware. Like there are Trojans you can get or viruses or whatever, that part of the thing that they do to your computer is they invite this other nasty stuff onto your computer without your knowledge. So that might be why you're getting this notification. It's picking up the other stuff that your virus is allowing onto your computer, but not the main culprit.
That's true. You know, unfortunately, sad to say, in order for you to get a virus or a Trojan horse or some kind of other malware on your computer, you have to do some of the work yourself.
Yeah.
Now, that doesn't, you know, not to sound accusatory, because I certainly don't mean it to be that way. You know, the people who write this stuff have gotten a lot better at social engineering, which is basically convincing you that you're downloading something completely benign that will actually be useful to you, such as a plugin for a website to watch this special video or,
right,
or something along those lines.
Or
so,
even antivirus or
sure,
anti-spyware software.
Sure. I mean, you know, a lot of people have been tricked into doing that. They'll see a pop-up from their browser window that says, hey, you know, we've detected a virus on your computer. Click here to download the free virus blocker and it'll wipe it out. Well, in fact, you didn't have one, but you do now.
Right.
Thanks to that little installer that they put on there. So, you know, it, certainly through some kind of weird happenstance, you seem to have gotten something on there. And even if you clean it off, and you keep ending up with new viruses, there's some pop-up somewhere that something's going on, and you may be inadvertently reinstalling new viruses on your machine, even if you did wipe the old one or the original one off.
Right. And so let's take a look at a couple of things that you need to take into consideration. First of all, you did mention that you're using Windows XP as your operating system. Make sure that you have the most recent service packs for Windows XP, because one thing that a lot of these hackers, or really we should call them crackers because it's a malicious hacker, one thing that they're looking at when they're building these viruses and Trojans and things like that, this other kind of malware, they look at vulnerabilities that exist within operating systems to exploit those vulnerabilities. So you want to have the most up-to-date service packs, because a lot of those have security patches that plug up these vulnerabilities as Microsoft discovers them. So someone sees something that can be exploited, they tell Microsoft. Microsoft says, okay, we need to fix this, and they address it and then release a patch for you to download and install so that it patches your system. You want to make sure you have the latest version of the service pack so that it is going to be the most secure. So that's my first line of advice, is to make sure you have that. Second of all, there are some viruses that are particularly tricky and will prevent you from downloading the most recent version of your antivirus software. So you want to make sure you have the most up-to-date version of that as well. If it looks like you're being prevented from accessing that, from updating your database, essentially is what it is. Mm-hmm. If that's happening, then you know that you've got something hiding there that you need to find. It may require that you uninstall that particular kind of antivirus and try something else. I don't recommend that you use more than one kind of antivirus software on a computer at the same time, because it's very resource intensive and they tend to make each other get all tangled up and they fall over each other. They don't work very well together, in other words.
That's true. That's true. And that sort of, unless I'm jumping the gun here, brings me to the point I wanted to make. This may not be the best thing for you to do on the hard drive that's infected. You know, what you might need to do is use what I would put in that little glass box if I were actually making one, which would be an emergency response disk.
Yes.
And basically, this is something that that you might be able to use. You might actually have something that does it. You said you were using a Trend Micro antivirus. Well, they actually have a disk that you can use. They're one of several. Kaspersky is another one where you can build a rescue disk. And what this does is it allows you to boot your computer from the CD itself. You might say, so what's the big deal? Well, if you're running off the CD rather than your hard drive, then your hard drive doesn't have control of your computer. The operating system loaded onto the CD does. So it can actually scan your hard drive without any interference from that virus that's on your hard drive. So if you suspect that something is preventing you from updating your antivirus or updating your operating system to the latest service pack, it probably is a good idea to go ahead and build a rescue disk and possibly even on a system that you know is not infected.
Right.
And then you can use it to boot your machine and hopefully exterminate those viruses, because that those antivirus companies that help you build those rescue disks actually they build in some antivirus stuff in there, so it'll go through your computer and see what it can find and hopefully exterminate those viruses.
It's always a good idea to follow that. Another way you can kind of look into the same sort of thing is to boot your computer in safe mode, which means that it doesn't actually initialize the Windows software operating system. So a lot of the viruses are part of your Windows registry. If you're using a Windows machine, that's part of how they kind of load themselves up when you boot your computer. The Windows registry keeps up a full database of all the different programs and applications that need to come online as soon as you turn your computer on.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a tricky thing. If you ever open up your Windows registry to look at it, there's often a ton of stuff on there, especially if you've ever deleted a program without actually uninstalling it first. Stuff that can be, you know, remnants of that stuff can be on your Windows registry forever, and it gets really clunky and hard to navigate through that. And things don't necessarily have the names you would expect in the registry key. So you could look at it and it all looks like a big jumbled gobbledygook. But if you can start your computer in safe mode and run some antivirus software through safe mode. And there are a lot of websites that tell you how to do that. It all depends on which antivirus software you're using. That might also help, because it won't allow the virus to disable whatever it is in that antivirus software that's preventing it from finding the stuff in the first place.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, let's say that you're able to run the stuff and it finds a virus. What do you do then? It depends, again, on what software you're using. Most antivirus software has some sort of tool that will automatically remove the virus from your system, which means it'll look for every single file that's associated with that virus and delete it, or at least quarantine it.
Right.
So, just because you track down a virus to a specific file, like a specific application, if you delete that application, it doesn't necessarily mean that you've gotten rid of the virus, because there are many, many parts to some of these viruses. They'll spread files around in several different locations. So you need to make sure you get all of them. So one good thing to do is, if you run the antivirus software, you write down the name. If a virus pops up, write down the name of that virus, and make sure you link it to whichever antivirus software you're using, because some companies use different names for different viruses.
That's true.
Yeah, you don't want to just assume that it's going to be the same in every single one, although most tend to list the alternate names as well in their virus databases. So usually you can figure it out, even if you're looking at a different database than the one supported by your antivirus software.
Right.
So at that point, you would need to go and look up this virus and see what all the names of all the different files that are associated with that particular virus. And then you would need to go and try and remove those files from your computer. Now, keep in mind, if that involves going into your registry and you remove the wrong file, your computer might not work the way it was supposed to. So always back up your Windows registry file before you start making changes to it. You do not want to have the headache of turning on your computer and realizing, oops, I deleted something that was apparently really important and I don't have a backup.
Yep. Well, really, you should back up your hard drive anyway.
Regularly anyway. Yeah, well, I was going to get to that when we're talking about preventive. But yes, if you are not backing up your hard drive, please change that behavior as soon as possible. Whether you're backing it up to a solid medium like a compact disks or flash drives, which I'm sure would take quite a few for most of us, or an external hard drive is probably your best bet. And they're not that expensive, especially when you compare it to the headache you would receive if you had to start from scratch. Invest in one of those. Do regular backups of your hard drive just in case if the absolute worst should happen, you might need to rely on it again.
Yeah, I mean, if you lost all the information on your hard drive, you knew that your hard drive is essentially hosed and you had files
That's a technical term.
That is a technical term. And you said, well, you know, I've got files on here. I've got to have them. There are certain files on here that I know are on here. Even though it's contaminated with virus, I know I'm going to have to reformat my hard drive or buy a new hard drive. You might have to send it out to a data recovery service and talk about spendy. You know, these guys are like magicians. Honestly, they're amazing because they can pull stuff off of there that you thought was long, long gone. And they might be able to even identify what is infected and what isn't.
Yeah. These are the same guys that law enforcement agencies call on when they need to scour a bad guy's computer and see if there's any evidence on it. These are people who, you know, they can look for traces for stuff that on a hard drive that's been reformatted multiple times.
Yep.
I mean, it's pretty amazing.
Damaged by fire, shock, you know, water. These guys
Jack
can do.
Jack Bauer got to it.
Right. You can bet that they'll be able to do it. However, you'll be spending a whole lot of money for the privilege of having them recover your files and check through them to make sure that they're okay. So, you know, backing things up, you know, investing in a storage solution and maybe a little software to back that stuff up on a regular basis, will save you some serious headaches if you get a virus infection and have to restore to a previous version.
Yeah, I've even seen external hard drives that had a simple button on it, and all you had to do was press the button and it would automatically back up your system from that point. So all you had to do was remember to push a button. And now, of course, there are external hard drives that have automatic software so that if you can't be bothered to push a button, it'll do it for you. And you know what? I'll be honest. There are things that I need to do on a regular basis that I forget about, and then like 3 or 4 months will go by, and I realize, ooh, I need to do that. And so I'm one of those people who probably could use the automatic feature as opposed to, hey, you need to push that button. It's been a while.
It's a good thing your dogs remind you to walk them.
Yes, it is a good thing. They are not lax in that. No. I was going to mention a utility that might be useful. If you know there's a file, a specific file you need to get rid of, but your computer is not letting you get to it, like as soon as it boots up, you can't even get into to smart mode. I mean, this does sometimes happen. There's a utility called Remove on Reboot.
Uh-huh.
And so let's say there's a file on your system and you know that this is a corrupt file and you have to get rid of it. But every time you try and delete it, you're getting the message, this file is currently in use. You can't delete it.
Yep.
And no matter what programs you close out of, you're still getting that message. If you use the Remove on Reboot utility, mm-hmm. you can designate that file as, hey, this is a bad file, delete it as soon as I start up my computer.
Nice.
And before it can even initialize, it'll get booted.
Very nice.
So that's something for you to keep in mind if you have a problem with viruses and you do know the specific files that are a problem. Like we said before, don't go deleting things willy-nilly. Don't reformat your hard drive just on a whim. You know, you try some other stuff first because you could very well remove these viruses without that kind of headache.
Yeah, proceed with caution. You know, ditching everything is not going to be the best use of your time. Even though it's going to be faster up front, you'll still have to go back and rebuild stuff. And you're going to lose a lot of information in the process too.
Right.
You know, it can be a learning experience. If you can go in scientifically and eliminate stuff that, you know, is fine in an attempt to figure out what's wrong, you're going to educate yourself about how to do this if, you know, it happens next time. Hopefully it won't.
Yeah. So let's just kind of do a quick recap. Make sure your operating system is up to date. Make sure your antivirus and or anti-spyware software is up to date. Try and find one that updates at least once a week. Most of them do. And make sure you enable that function. Don't tell your firewall to block it, because that's very important that you stay up to date on that stuff. And just use some careful web surfing, policies. Don't open up weird attachments and emails. Don't follow links blindly. Don't answer pop-up ad stuff. These are just general rules of thumb that will make your web surfing experience much more pleasant in the long run.
Oh, yeah.
So, do you have anything to add to that?
Nope.
Well,
nope,
Alex, I hope we answered your question, and I really hope you are able to take care of that problem. This does bring us to an interesting moment.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it's the second time for this show, in fact. You know what that means.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it's more listener mail.
Jeez, I had my earplugs out now.
Yeah, you thought that we weren't going to do one at the end, but I fooled you. All right, so this one comes from our friend Ben over in Clinton. And Ben writes to us and says, is the alarm sound at the beginning of listener mail the same sound used on MST3K, that's Mystery Science Theater 3000 for those of you who are unfamiliar with it, to signal the start of a movie? Every time I hear it, I get the mental picture. Know what I mean? Thanks a lot. Keep up the good work. Huh. Do you know what he means?
Yes, in fact, I do.
Well, we'll try another experiment. So for the third time today, Tyler, if you please.
Movie sign!
We got movie sign! No, that's not the same.
So.
No, it's not the same
alarm
at all. Yeah, it's a little different. No. But thanks for writing, Ben. We appreciate it. And if any of you have anything you'd like to write to us, suggestions or corrections or, just general weird comments, maybe even a haiku, because I hear that Josh and Chuck have stopped the haikus. So if you have to get your haiku on.
Why don't we have limericks?
I like limericks too, but they've moved on to limericks. Actually, what? If you want to write a Spenserian sonnet, you can do so and send it to techstuff@howstuffworks.com. And I'm talking Spenserian, not Shakespearean. All right? So look that up. So techstuff@howstuffworks.com. And remember, we have blogs up and running, and you can find those. Actually, now you can find them straight from our homepage. So howstuffworks.com. Look on the right-hand side. You'll see that there are some interesting blogs up there. Sometimes it's ours as well. And if you click on the button at the bottom, it'll take you straight to the blog page, and you can read all the different blogs. There's lots of really interesting ones. And remember, you can read all about computer viruses and other software that goes bump in the night at howstuffworks.com, and we will talk to you again really soon.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com. Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it on. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit nfl.com/schedule-release to learn more.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, You're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.